Listening 1. Learning Center.
Listen to a conversation on campus between two students.
Hi, are you Paula?
Jim?
Hi, nice to meet you.
Glad to meet you.
So, you need some tutoring in English?
Yeah, I'm taking English composition and I'm not doing very well on my essays.
Right. Well, first, let's see if we can figure out a time to meet that we're both free.
Okay.
How about Mondays? Maybe in the morning? I don't have any classes until 11 on Mondays.
That'd work, but I was hoping we could, you know, meet more than once a week.
Oh, well, Tuesdays are out. I've got classes, and I work at the library part-time on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But I could get together on Wednesdays.
In the morning?
Probably 9:30 would be best. That way we'd have an hour to work before I'd have to get ready for my 11 o'clock.
So that would be 2 hours a week, then?
I could do that.
Oh, but would that be extra? You know, would I need to pay you for the extra session?
No. Just so you meet me here at the Learning Center and we both sign in, then I'll get paid. Tutoring's free, to you, I mean. The school pays me, but we both have to show up. If you don't show up and sign in for a session, then I don't get paid, so...
Oh, don't worry about that. I really need the help. I won't miss any sessions unless I'm sick or something.
Okay, then. So you want me to help you with your essays?
Right. I could bring you some that have, you know, comments on them. I'm getting C's and...
Well, that's not too bad. Once I see some of your writing, we should be able to pull that up to a B.
You think so?
Sure. But I need to explain something. Some of my students in the past, they expected me to write their essays for them, but that's not what a tutor's supposed to do. My job is to help you be a better writer.
Oh, I understand that. But you'll read my essays, right?
Oh, yeah. No problem. We'll read them together, and I'll make suggestions.
Great. I think part of the problem is I just don't understand the teacher's comments. Maybe you could help me figure them out.
Sure. Who's the teacher?
Simpson?
No problem. I've tutored a couple of her students, so I know more or less where she's coming from. Okay, then. I guess we'll meet here on Monday?
I'll be here. 9:30, you said.
Just sign in when you get here.
1. What does the woman need? 2. Listen again to part of the conversation and then answer the following question.
Oh, but would that be extra? You know, would I need to pay you for the extra session?
Why does the woman say this?
Oh, but would that be extra?
Three. Why is the man concerned about the woman's attendance? Four. What does the man agree to do? 5. What does the man imply about the woman's teacher?
2. Geology class.
Listen to part of a lecture in a geology class.
Okay, today we're going to discuss the four major types of drainage patterns. I trust you've already read the chapter, so you'll recall that a drainage pattern is the arrangement of channels that carry water in an area. And these patterns can be very distinctive since they're determined by the climate, the topography, and the composition of the rock that underlies the formations. So, consequently, we can see that a drainage pattern is really a good visual summary of the characteristics of a particular region, both geologically and climatically. In other words, when we look at drainage patterns, we can draw conclusions about the structural formation and relief of the land as well as the climate. Now, all drainage systems are composed of an interconnected network of streams, and when we view them together, they form distinctive patterns. Although there are at least 7 identifiable kinds of drainage patterns, for our purposes we're going to limit our study to the 4 major types. Probably the most familiar pattern is the dendritic drainage pattern. This is a stream that looks like the branches of a tree. Here's an example of a dendritic pattern. As you can see, it's similar to many systems in nature. In addition to the structure of a tree, it also resembles the human circulation system. This is a very efficient drainage system because the overall length of any one branch is fairly short, and there are many branches. So that allows the water to flow quickly and efficiently from the source or sources. Okay, let's look at the next example. This drainage pattern is referred to as a radial pattern. Notice how the streams flow from a central point. This is usually a high mountain or a volcano. It kind of looks like the spokes that radiate out from the hub of a wheel. When we see a radial pattern, we know that the areas experienced uplift and that the direction of the drainage is down the slopes of a relatively isolated central point. Going back to the dendritic for a moment, the pattern's determined by the direction of the slope of the land, but the streams flow in more or less the same direction, and so it's unlike the radial that had multiple directions of flow from the highest point. Now, this pattern's very different from either the dendritic or the radial. This is called a rectangular pattern, and I think you can see why. Just look at all of those right-angle turns. The rectangle pattern's typical of a landscape that's been formed by fractured joints and faults, and because this broken rock is eroded more easily than unbroken rock, stream beds are carved along the jointed bedrock. Finally, we have the trellis pattern. And here in this example, you can see quite clearly how the tributaries of an almost parallel structure drain into valleys and form the appearance of a garden trellis. This pattern forms in areas where there are alternating bands of variable resistance. And by that, I mean that the bands of rock that are very strong and resistant to erosion alternate with bands of rock that are weak and easily eroded. This often happens when a horizontal plane folds and outcroppings appear. So, as I said, as a whole, these patterns are dictated by the structure and relief of the land. The kinds of rocks on which the streams are developed, the structural pattern of the folds, faults, and uplift will usually determine a drainage system. However, I should also mention that drainage patterns can occasionally appear to be, well, out of sync with the landscape. And this can happen when a stream flows over older structures that have been uncovered by erosion or when a stream keeps its original drainage system when rocks are uplifted. So when that happens, the pattern appears to be contrary to the expected course of the stream. But I'm interested in your understanding the basic drainage system, so I don't plan to trick you with test questions about exceptional patterns. But I expect you to know that exceptions to the patterns can occur when geological events influence them.
6. What is this lecture mainly about? Seven. Listen again to part of the lecture and then answer the following question.
Okay, today we're going to discuss the 4 major types of drainage patterns. I trust you've already read the chapter, so you'll recall that a drainage pattern is the arrangement of channels that carry water in an area.
Why does the professor say this?
I trust you've already read the chapter, so you'll recall that a drainage pattern is the arrangement of channels that carry water in an area.
Eight. How does the professor introduce the dendritic drainage system? Nine. Why does the professor mention the spokes of a wheel? Ten. In the lecture, the professor discusses the trellis drainage pattern. Indicate whether each of the following is typical of this pattern. Click in the correct box for each phrase. Eleven. What does the professor imply when he says this?
So I don't plan to trick you with test questions about exceptional patterns.